Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast for the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you haven't already, we encourage you to check out our audio archive at vineyardcampbellsville.org. You can also subscribe on iTunes or wherever you like to get podcasts. And now, here's this week's message brought to you by Senior Pastor Adam Russell.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hey, guys. Hey, my name is Adam. I'm the pastor here. So good to have you. Some of you might be new and you're wondering, like, why are the kids doing stuff today? Well, it's Youth Serve Sunday. In case that wasn't clear, I hope they greeted you. I hope they've been saying hello to you. It's so good to give our youth a chance to just be seen and known here at the Vineyard because it's such a big deal to us. We just love it so much. Everybody good? Everybody good? Good. Hey, if you want to open up your Bibles to 1 John, we're going to start a new series here. 5 weeks in 1 John. The reason there's 5 weeks in 1 John is because there's five chapters in 1 John. We are really strategic like that on the preaching team. While you're turning there, and before we get to the message, I just want to say, have you guys noticed it's been a hectic week? Have you noticed it's been a hectic week? Right? Like, let's just do pastoral moment here for a second. Young lady stabbed in the neck in Charlotte. By the way, my kids and I have ridden that train. Like the very train. Happened in broad daylight in a great part of town. Am I right, Eric? Literally a great part of town. Yeah. Charlie Kirk shot in the neck. At the same time, there's a school shooting in Colorado that happened. So it's like, you know? And how many of you here are surprised by any of this anymore? The answer is you're not. We're becoming desensitized to it. And this is clearly not the sermon this morning. This is not even the point of the sermon. All I want to say to us is, some people have asked me, like, what does this mean? Or what should we do? Or how should we frame this? I just want to tell you, we live in a very contested world, don't we? And by contested, I don't just mean like social status or politics. I mean good and evil. I mean there's something at work in the world. This is why I could never be a full-on secularist or a humanist. Like, there's something happening in the world, and it's the only word for it is evil. Where does it come from? Right? Right. So I just want to point us back to the good news again. So what I'm going to do this morning, my response is I'm going to preach the good news to you. Because this is what people need. This is what people need. This is what we need. This is what I need. We need the gospel of Jesus to break in. You know, that's really, really what we need. So I just want to say, if you saw these things in the news this week and you were disturbed, good, good. If you're becoming too desensitized, ask God to open up your eyes. And if you're wondering what you could do, here's the very best thing you could do. Love your wife, love your husband, raise good children. That's the best thing you could do. That is the thing that wins in the end. Love Jesus, love your family, raise children who know God, raise children who know their parents and grand, like build a thing at home. This is the best thing we could do. Also just receive the gospel every single chance you get, which is what I intend to do this morning and why we're gonna preach 1 John. Is that all right with you guys? Yeah. So I'm gonna move right into this. Here's what I wanna do just as a way of framing this. So there's like five chapters in 1 John, and we're going to pick them up week by week. But there's one scripture I was looking and reading and praying again this week, just through the whole letter, and I was looking just for the frame, sort of a way that we could explore it over the next 5 weeks. And I think one of the best little moments in 1 John is at the very end. It's 1 John 5:13. John says this about why he wrote what he wrote to the people he's writing it to, okay? He says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, what? So that you may know you have eternal life. So part of what we're gonna be picking up for the next 5 weeks is this idea of knowing. The theological word there would be assurance. How many of you know that you know? You know? How many of you have ever been unsure of what you know? If you haven't been unsure of what you know, one day you might be. It happens to a lot of people, right? But part of what we want to do in the next 5 weeks is we want to say, John, would you speak to us? And would you show us the ways that we could know, that we have eternal life? How could we have assurance deep down in our soul? Even during weeks where everything in America is upside down, where it feels like evil is winning, where it feels like bad things are proliferating in a manner that is unmanageable, how could we know that we are anchored to something that lasts? How could you know that you know? By the way, the word know in 1 John, it shows up 30 times. So it isn't just this one scripture that I'm picking out. It's something that is in John's heart. He wants you to know something. He wants you to know that you know. 1 John 5:13. Well, here's what I want to do this morning. I just want to read the whole first chapter to you. Can we do that? It's a great chapter. We're going to look at chapter 1 this week. This is what John says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, no shadow. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from some sin. No, all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. I want to start here this morning. How do you know? And specifically this, how do you know that the life of God is in you? How do you know? How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know that there's real faith at work in your life? How do you know? How do you know? Is it a feeling? Here's the problem with feelings. They come and go, right? Faith can't just be feelings, right? Like, sometimes my blood sugar drops because I didn't eat, and then I get bad feelings. You know? Does anybody else here get hangry? I do. If I get grumpy, the first thing Heather does is hand me a cookie. Most of the time, that helps. Like, how do you know? It can't just be feelings, or is it a formula that you memorize? Do you guys remember the Pythagorean theorem? Sure. Some of you do, don't you? Yeah, somebody said, I heard of it. Yeah. I don't really know what it is. Yeah. I was thinking about this week. I know that I've worked out because I'm sore the next day. And I know how much money I have because I can log into my account and there's a ledger, you know? And I know I'm growing in patience because I still watch Kentucky football games after all these years. I still do, guys. I still do. Lord, in your name, would you protect Cutter Bowley? Lord, in your name. But part of what I'm getting at this week is that knowing is a big deal. I mean, it's dead center of the text for us for the next 5 weeks. And knowing's a big deal even in things like faith, which feels like you're talking about knowing things you can't know or knowing things you can't see. How many of you know that sometimes there are things you know that you can't see? Like, I know about gravity because you and I are not floating off of the planet. And I know because our planet is not floating off into space. It's held in the gravity of the sun. I know, I can't see it, but I know it. I know the wind. I can feel it, but I can't see it. And you can also know something about health. Have you ever noticed this? Like, you can't see immunity. Isn't that weird? I was thinking about this week. You can't see immunity. But you can know something about health just in sort of like the way that your body works. Like if you can run a mile and not be winded, you're probably a healthy person, and that healthy person probably has some immunity, even though I can't see any immunity. Does that make sense? So much of life works this way. The most important realities are invisible but undeniable because we see their effects. And that's how John talks about eternal life. You can't see it bottled up inside of you, but you can see its signs. And if you read 1 John, the whole letter, really closely, John would say there's three signs of having eternal life active and alive in you. And here are the three signs. Number one, faith in Jesus the Son. Not just faith in God as a concept, but faith in Jesus Christ, the flesh and blood, is the Son of God. Number one, faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you know. Here's the second way you know. Obedience to Jesus Christ. He says this like really plainly in the next chapter. Obedience to Jesus. And then finally, the main sign that you have something like the life of God growing in you is love for other people. Like, how do you know? There are ways to know. It's like the gravity of the kingdom. Belief in the Son, obedience to his ways, love for others. That's how you know. That's how you know. And so part of what we're getting at in this series is that the life of faith isn't blind trust. It's not stumbling around in the dark. It's not hoping for a decent outcome. It's not just believing what my parents believed, you know? Some of us here are still believing what our parents believed. I would invite you to step beyond that and take it on for yourself. Instead, it's 1 John 5:13. He's writing to the church that can know that they know they have the life of God, eternal life, growing in their being. These are the signs, concrete evidences of a substantial life of faith. Now, here's a little context for everybody before we get maybe into the main things I want to say here. When you read this letter, I hope maybe you'll just make this the only Bible reading you do. Just do that. Just read 1 John. A few things for you. Number one, I want you to notice the tone of 1 John. It's not even pastoral, it's grandfatherly. So the very beginning of 1 John, he doesn't open it up like Paul does. Paul will say, I, Paul, an apostle, blah, 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 to you. You know, it feels very formal and like we like Paul, we do. But it's different. You feel it right away. It's a different thing. And over again in this letter, he will write to the people that he is talking to and he calls them dear children. Dear children. So there's this affectionate love. There's this affectionate care. It's familial tone. I just want you to imagine John is your granddaddy. Okay, so when you read this, this is like a word from grandfather. Number two, context. He's writing it in the midst of some sort of a church split. People have left. You'll see this in chapter 2. He talks about some people have gone out from us. In chapter 2, verse 19, people left the church. And here's why they left the church. They left the church over Jesus. And you're like, well, how can you leave the church over Jesus? Well, there's this thing happening in the first century, and John is very aware of it. Paul is at times as well. And it's basically a Gnostic form of Christianity was being spread around and infiltrating the church. And you might be thinking, well, I don't really know what that means. Here's basically what the Gnostic gospel means. It means something like this. It's downplaying the physical body of Jesus in preference for, and air quotes here, more spiritual interpretation of life, okay? So Jesus becomes more of a concept or even Jesus's own body is offensive to the Gnostic mind because it's too low key, it's too feet on the ground. Instead, what they want is something that feels more advanced, higher minded, air quotes here, spirituality. Instead of the physical flesh and blood that matters, what matters is the spiritual. But Christian theology is never spirit over natural. It is always word made flesh. By the way, word made flesh is Jesus. This is why John opens his letter by saying of Jesus, these are the things that we heard, we saw, and we touched. Did you notice that this morning? Like right away, what's he doing? He's saying, we are not preaching to you or proclaiming or staking our life on a Gnostic spirituality. We are staking our life on a person who had flesh and blood and is God. It's very. These are the things we know because we touched it. Not just thought or imagined. Now, we may not call it Gnosticism today, but plenty of people want a spirituality that floats above real life. And that's why John insists Jesus was seen, heard, and touched. Faith is embodied, not imagined. And by the way, here's some Gnostic forms of the gospel that are around even today. Maybe you've heard things like this. I love Jesus. I just don't like the church. That's modern Gnosticism. I love Jesus. I don't like the church. Modern Gnosticism. Or how about this one? You hear it in Hollywood. I'm spiritual, but what? I'm not religious. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not religious. Or even, how many of you have noticed this? That the modern world has become insanely conspiratorial. What is that? The conspiratorial bent is the Gnostic bent that has always been inside of people. It's this feeling that we know, oh, there's something else really going on. There's something else really going on. I would say the conspiratorial bent of the modern human heart is ancient Gnosticism played over and over again. Here's another modern form of it. Hyper-individual faith, you know? Sometimes people deconstruct and that collapses into a private faith. You know, I don't really need the church. I don't need sacraments. I still believe in Jesus. I read the Bible. You guys do whatever you want. It's just me and Jesus. It's a modern form of Gnosticism. And then here's a weird one that doesn't seem like a big deal now, but I just want to tell you, drop a pin in this from Pastor Adam, okay? Because it will be a big deal in 10 years. Remember this in 10 years. This is going to be a big one. The tech and transhumanism that is evolving rapidly. The modern tech gurus, here's what they want you to do. They want you to escape your body through technology. The first signs of it are already here. People are very online. By the way, who are we having the most problems with right now? People who are very online. And then the next thing you know, we're not just going to be online, but the online is going to be where? It's going to be in us. Yeah, what is this? This is a Gnostic thought that is being spread throughout the world and specifically through technology that will divorce you from your body. By the way, God gave you your body and meant you to live in it. All right. Anyway, moving right along. So John, we've already said this. He gives three evidences of a real life of faith. And by the way, the tests, they're about assurance. They're not about entrance. So when he says there's three ways to know you have the life of the kingdom, it's not about simply getting in, but they're evidences of something happening already. Belief in Jesus, obedience to Jesus, right? These are things that show something is already happening. All right, so here's what I want to do really quickly this morning. I want to talk quickly about walking in the light. It's a phrase that shows up in verse 5. I want to drill into this phrase for a moment. Walking in the light. What are the signs of assurance from the text? Since that's the main theme of the letter. Well, part of it is walking in the light. Everything in John chapter 1 is John saying, look at this obvious stuff. So over and over again through these 10 verses, John is saying, it's actually not hidden, it's obvious. It actually isn't covered up, it's been uncovered. It's been disclosed, walking in the light. But I wanna start maybe with this for a moment. How many of you have ever walked in the dark? And I'm not talking metaphorically. Anybody ever have to get up in the middle of the night? Yeah. Who here has walked in the dark and stepped on a Lego? You know, it's kind of like, if you're a parent, it's a thing, isn't it? You know you're going to step on a Lego. Yeah. This is sort of funny. A couple years ago, I forget where I was at. I was somewhere else, but I remember I was in a hotel. And of course, I had to get up in the middle of the night. And I stepped on a Lego. And I was thinking, I'm at a hotel. Someone's punking me. This meme has been sewn into the universe, into every Hilton. Yeah, put 2 feet out of the bed, stepped on a Lego. Couldn't believe it. Wasn't even home. No kids around. Yeah. Just this week, I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I stepped in dog pee. That actually happened this week. All kinds of stuff happens when you walk in the dark, you know? Things you didn't imagine, things you didn't hope for. But the life of God and the nature of God isn't darkness, it's light, it's visible, it's obvious, it's knowable. Look at verses 1 through 4 again. 1 through 4. Here's what John is saying in verses 1 through 4. Jesus is the word of life made visible. Jesus is the word of life made visible. Look at the words he's using from the very beginning, which we heard, which we've seen with our eyes. And notice he says seen with our eyes. He didn't say we saw it with our hearts. This is actually a really big deal. We saw it with our eyes. We looked at it and our hands touched it. By the way, the whole time here, he's talking about Jesus. And by the way, John is the guy who at the Last Supper is laying on Jesus's chest. So when he says, I touched it, he could have written, I laid on. Like, that's how much I knew it. That's what we proclaim to you. Like, what we're telling you isn't stuff that we've made up or hoped for or imagined in our heads. It's stuff that we've seen, we heard, and we touched it. Jesus is not an idea. Jesus is not a philosophy. Jesus is a person in a body, and that means it's concrete and knowable. There is something about God that is infinite mystery, and yet there is something about God that is not infinite mystery. It is infinitely knowable because Jesus is a person with a body. Eternal life isn't hidden far away in heaven in another time, stuck in the future. It's revealed in Christ. Our faith isn't built on speculation, but instead it's built on testimony. And in this way, there's something about our faith that's concrete and knowable. It's Jesus Christ. You can know that you have eternal life because Jesus is knowable. Second thing I want to say here is verse 5. God is light. God is pure light, meaning no darkness and no shadow. Here's what that means. It means there's a major difference between God and everything else. Light is obvious, isn't it? Light is obvious. You don't even have to be smart to see it. Some of this isn't quite as mysterious as we make it out to be. And here's what that means for you and I. To walk in the light or to walk with God means walking in openness and in truth. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in openness and truth. It means, if I could put it another way, no hiding. No hiding. You can't claim fellowship with God, a God who is light, while hiding in the dark. And some of you might be thinking, well, how do you hide? Let me just share some ways that modern people hide. Number one, image management. Image management is a form of hiding. You know, it's so common for us to put things online that don't match who we really are. And by the way, this isn't Pastor Adam arguing for tell all your worst stuff to everyone on Facebook. You know, that's not what John is asking you to do. But isn't it true that there's something about modern life that actually creates the context for hiding? And isn't it true that could be happening in a way that you and I don't even think about. And if you did it every single day for 10, 12, now going on 15 years, isn't it true that it might shape you into a certain kind of person who could hide and realize that you don't even know that you're hiding? Isn't it true? Like, there's image management happening all the time in the world. And so part of what I would want to invite this room into as it relates to walking in the light is I would want to say, is there any place and is there anyone, is there any space where you're not maintaining your image, but you're telling the truth? Do you have any relationship where you're not hiding? That would be really important, because if you want to walk in the light, you're going to need it. Yeah. You won't be able to just put the Instagram version of yourself continually into the world and live in the light. It'll actually cause you to live in the dark. It's image management. Number two, secret addictions. I mean, we talk about addiction here a lot at the Vineyard, and here's why. People are addicted, you know? Secret addictions. Maybe you're here this morning and you have an addiction and you haven't told anybody. It could be a substance. It could be an activity. I mean, you guys know what we can all be addicted to. I know what we can be addicted to. The human heart is a craving heart, by the way. And there's a very good chance that maybe you're here this morning and you're living with a secret addiction. And John would say, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And the invitation to walk in the light is to walk in openness and truth. And I would just even now begin to invite you into the kind of courage that would say, you know what? I have a secret addiction. I haven't told anyone. The day that you admit that you have a secret addiction is like, it's the most free day you're ever going to have in your life. You can walk in the light. Bitterness and unforgiveness. How many of you understand that bitterness and unforgiveness can live really quietly? How many of you know that everyone in the room can think you're a happy person, but on the inside you hate some people? You can get away with that for a while. Bitterness grows really slow and it can be really quiet. Man, it can be so quiet. It can be so quiet. By the way, that's a form of hiding. That's a form of living in the dark. That's a form of not walking in the light. Self-deception and morality. It's a form of living in the dark. Here's what that looks like. When we say this to ourselves, well, at least I'm better than them. By the way, we almost never say that out loud, do we? But inside we go, well, I'm better than them. Are you? Am I? It's a form of living in the dark. How many of you have ever heard this phrase? Sunlight is the best disinfectant. How many of you know that's actually true? Can confirm, okay? All four of my kids played soccer. Can I tell you the grossest thing in the world? Soccer cleats. There's nothing will destroy your car like two soccer cleats. You go to the grocery, you leave two soccer cleats in the back, you're done. Your car will never be the same. But here's what's weird. You can take the funkiest cleats and put them on the back deck in the sunshine, and it'll just start getting better, and you didn't do anything. Sunlight really is the best disinfectant. Walking in the light. So the invitation this morning is even now, like some of these things that are buried, some of these things we're upset about or carrying or we're holding close or secret addictions, God would say, come into the light, because that's where I'm at. Here's what it means to walk in the light, verses 6 and 7. This is a really freeing word. I hope you notice that when you read verses 6 and 7, that walking in the light doesn't mean sinlessness. It doesn't mean perfection. Instead, what it means is honesty. So the good news this morning is you don't have to be perfect. You can just be honest. You don't have to be sinless. Did you notice this? If we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live in the truth. God, look, John's not saying you have to have every single piece of your life perfectly put together. What he is saying is don't lie about what you don't have yet. Just say, I don't have it. I've got an addiction. I've been doing some management on the Instagrams. And I've got a person or two I'm really bitter with. When you begin to say that, all of a sudden we come into the light. I just love this. Here's what it means. Not perfection, but transparency. It means living without masks, admitting that you're not okay. It's okay to admit that you're not okay. How many of you here are a fatigued parent? Have any fatigued parents? Admit it. Like, here's how you walk into life. Hey, my kids are killing me. You start there. Just be like, I love my children. They're my greatest gift. And we're worn out. You are already beginning to walk in the light. You know, you can just start there. You know, you can start really small. Maybe this. How many people here in the room have ever been scared about money? Have you ever been scared about money? Yeah. Some of us have our two hands up. Yeah. I'm not worshiping. I'm scared. I'm really afraid about money. Yeah. Here's a way that you could walk in the light. You just begin to just share like some of the places where you feel really weak to God and then to some other people. Like, just be like, I'm a fatigued parent and I'm scared about our bills. Dude, you just got in the light. You're not hiding anymore. It's not perfection, it's transparency. And here's the fruit. Here's what I love. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, look at this. We'll have fellowship with each other. How many of you know that the more you hide, the more disconnected with everybody else you are? And you know what everybody wants? Friends. Friends. And what is one of the essential nature and one of the essential truths of friendship? It's transparent, isn't it? Like your friends know about you. You don't lie to your friends. You know, like, I love this. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, so no more hiding, and we become transparent, we tell the truth, I'm a fatigued parent, I have an addiction, and I'm scared about the money, all of a sudden, you'll become more connected. You have fellowship with one another. Oh, yes, and the blood of Jesus purifies you from all the sin. Oh, yeah, you get forgiven. You get forgiven. And then finally, verses 8 and 10, no more hiding from sin. Here's two temptations that we all have. I mean, John puts it in the very first chapter of his letter, like right up front. Here are two basic Christian temptations. Number one, pretend we're fine. Here's how you pretend you're fine. I don't have any sin. By the way, most of us would never say that, right? Most of us are smart enough as Christians to go, I would never say I don't have sin. But how many of you would say over and over again, I'm fine? It's the same. That's actually what he's saying. So there's two temptations. Number one, I don't have any sins. Or the second temptation is to excuse or deny what we do wrong. I have not sinned. You know, or at least I'm better than them, right? These are the human temptations, especially for Christians. But God's invitation to us is to confess, and I hope you notice here, you'll be forgiven. You'll be forgiven. You'll be cleansed. So here's the word to everyone in the room this morning. Hiding leads to self-deception, but confession leads to freedom and openness and transparency and living in the light. How many of you have ever hid something? Anybody ever hid anything? Maybe it was a story, maybe it was something you did a couple weeks ago. Heather and I were like cleaning the house. I forget how this happened, but there was just this smell. Do you remember this, Heather? Oh my God. Like I'm even like doing the little vacuum thing. She just nodded her head, can confirm. This is how you vacuum. Yeah. And I was like, you know, it should be getting better, but it's getting worse. It's like, we've been cleaning for 30 minutes and something is rotten. And you walk into the kitchen, it's like, it's great in here. It feels good, it smells good, looks good, everything's organized. It's great. I walk into the living room. I don't really smell it right now. Oh yeah, I do. It's over. Where is it? And then you ever had that thing where you can't find it? You just like you can't find it. There's a ghost in our house. He's rotten. And then I would be like, well, maybe there's, I don't know. So then you would run the vacuum cleaner and it would get worse. And I'm like, okay, it's on the rug. Then I'm like, it's the dogs. It's the dog. I know the dog is like vomited or it's peed on the carpet, but it doesn't smell like pee. It smells like rotten. Oh, no. It's rotten. And then you do the thing where have anybody ever done this? You get all, you're like, I've got to find it. And so then I'm like, there's a bad smell over here. Heather, come smell it. And even when you say that, you're like, why am I saying this? But then there's two adults and we're both like, that thing is right here. Yeah. It took us like 3 days to figure out what was going on. Rowan and some buddies had had like a little sleepover or something. And we reconstructed the crime scene. And I'm 90% sure that what they were doing is when Heather and I went to bed, I think they were eating cereal. And I just think they put the cereal bowl down. And then the next morning, I think somebody got up and spilled the milk on the rug and then carried the bowl to the kitchen. And then it just took a while to ferment, you know? Curdling would have been better. You can see it. This was worse. And it just took a while, but we finally, through prayer and fasting, we cast it out. I think it's fine now. We didn't burn the rug. Not yet. Why am I telling this story? Have you ever hidden anything? I'm not even saying that Rowan and his buddies were lying or hiding. They may not have even known they did this, right? But how many of you understand that the things that happen that are not brought into the light, the things that happen that are not brought, hey, Mom, like we like spilled the thing on the rug and, you know, that would have been so much more helpful. Yeah. You know what's easier? It's easier not to get an addiction than to clean one up. I mean, it really is. But the good news is, if you do have one, if you'll just step into the light, God can begin to work. It's better to not get bitter. But if you are bitter, the next best thing is to step into the light. You can't clean up the soiled spot on the rug until we locate it or till we find out about it. Otherwise, you're just like, there's a funk ghost in our house. It's haunting us. I can't sit on the couch. What's happening? You know? Yeah, it'd be better. It'd be better not to become a duplicitous person who's one thing online and something very different at home. It'd be way better not to. But you know what? If there is some sort of a distance in your character between who you are online and who you are in real life, the greatest thing you can do is just begin to bring it into the light and let God see it. Walking in the light. Living in the light doesn't mean never stumbling. It means never hiding. That's what it means. God isn't asking for perfection. He's asking for honesty. And here's his promise for everybody who's honest. His promise is to cleanse you and to forgive you. And by the way, those two words are really important. Forgiveness is like, well, you're forgiven. Cleansing is making you the kind of person. It's like it never happened. There is no stain. There is no stain. Oh, man. And John says this over and over. Cleansed. Cleansed. You could be cleansed. How? By just stepping into the light. That's how. Yeah. Well, here's one way that you know you have a living and real faith. Walking in the light as he is in the light, no hiding and transparency. That's how you would know. We'll land here. If you're in the band, why don't you come on up? If you're not in the band, you can stand up. As they're coming up, isn't it true, by the way, that the best people you've ever met are transparent and honest people? Isn't that true? Like when we think about deep people, or when I think about earthy, human, like the best people, aren't they the people who are open and honest and transparent and can admit their weaknesses and not just tell you stories of victory, but can say, you know what, man, this is where I really got sideways. Yeah, they're always the best people. Well, let's pray, and then we're gonna sing and ask God to put his eternal light on us and in us.
Thanks again for stopping by the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you'd like to keep up with what's happening at the Vineyard, you can follow us on social media. Until next time.